Well, welcome everyone. Let's see. We're gonna. Our friend Shane is gonna release some revelation tonight. And for those of you that are new, I don't know what to tell you other than this is. As with everything else that we're doing around here, whenever we hear something new, we've got to learn how to get with the Holy Spirit and the Father and let them speak to us about these things. And so what Shane is going to share tonight, probably for, I mean, other than those that have got to talk with him about this, the time spiral, it's probably going to be the first time that you've ever heard something like this. So one thing that I encourage people to do, one thing that we've been trained to do in the church is to judge things too quickly. And we haven't really been discipled on how to hear something new. And okay, it might freak me out. It might manifest some fear because of the unknown or whatever. But out of maturity, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to go get with Holy Spirit. And I'm going to sit with him and ask him about whatever I just heard. And so... So I would just encourage you not to be too quick to judge what you hear. And after you leave, if you really want to understand or know about what Shane is sharing about the revelation of the time spiral, then to begin to sit with Father and Holy Spirit and Jesus or the Trinity and begin to ask them to open this up for you, to for the knowledge, the understanding of this, to begin to open up for you so that you'll know what to do with it. Because the thing is there's a difference between, how can I say it? There's a difference between revelation and knowledge in the sense of revelation has to come from Holy Spirit, okay? So whenever Holy Spirit comes and something gets revealed, then that seed just got sown into our hearts, and as we sit with him and pray into that and seek it out into the scriptures, that seed is going to bear like kind in our life, okay? So we'll have the substance of that thing, of that revelation, can begin to manifest in our life. But when we stay over here in this place of knowledge and we don't do anything with it and we just rotely remember what we've heard and then we're just, you know, parroting and repeating what we've heard and we've never asked Holy Spirit about any of it, we're just repeating the thousands of messages that we've listened to, that's knowledge and there is no spirit in that. It's just here. That's the only place it's here, right here. So this is we're learning how to live out of revelation or eating from the tree of life and letting Holy Spirit just more and more reveal this stuff to us because we want to know. And if all things are being restored, then all things are going to have to be revealed, and I want to know what all things are. And I'm not afraid of what they are. Fear is not going to lord. Fear has no place in my life. Okay? So this is where we've got to work that thing out in us. If there is fear that's resonating in our lives, we just got to let God work that out and overcome the fear. And then let Holy Spirit say, that's me, and this is what I want you to do with that, and this is what this is for. And it's that simple, okay? And for those of you that are new, we have a website. It's allthingsrestored.org, and there's a bunch of podcasts up there that are what I would consider a lot of our foundational teachings to kind of help you understand who we are, what we're doing. We are Christians, and you know, we're just one of our foundational verses is Hebrews 6:1, and it says, "Let us not lay again the elementary things of the gospel, but let us go on unto perfection." Okay, the only way that we can go on unto perfection is for us to begin to talk about it. And if we're too afraid to talk about it, then we're not going anywhere. So at some point, we've got to overcome the fear and start talking about some stuff and then let Holy Spirit say, this is me, that's not me. And he'll work out the rest. But this is that relationship with God that he wants us to have, being led by a spirit. In Romans 8, it says, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So what spirit is leading you? Because fear is a spirit. And you can be led by fear. Okay? So here again, I just wanted to preface that to hopefully help Shane when he steps up here just to kind of get in the flow and just go for it. So And we're going to probably put this up on the website, hopefully tomorrow or the next day. So what he shares will be up on the website. And this is definitely one of those messages with a lot of the stuff that we hear around here. Or like one of the guys that we're in close relationship with is Ian Clayton. And then all those guys at Company of Burning Hearts that are in Wales. That's a really good podcast that all those guys are tracking with all of this stuff. And so whenever we hear stuff like this, you're going to have to hear it more than once. That's how this works. Okay? So a lot of times I'll have, I don't know how many things I'll be listening to, and it's like, okay, I'm going to go after that one. So it's like ultimately that's what you'll have to do with all this stuff, is you'll just have to zero in on where's the desire in your heart, or where's God at and what is he doing with you. And then just focus on that one thing. And there was a message that I listened to for 3 months, 20 minutes of a 40-minute message. I zeroed it into 20-minute section. And I listened to that 20-minute section for 3 months, and that's all I listened to. And then it opened up for me. So that's how this works, okay? Because what this thing right here is having to be undone and renewed, okay? And a lot of it is just simply the reality of heaven is a real place and we're learning how to go because we can. Because you've been born of the Spirit, so our mind needs to be renewed. And it's the renewing of the mind is you listening to that message until it opens up. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what's in your heart is your reality. What you think is your reality. So when somebody's presenting truth, like what Shane is going to share, we're going to have to sit with that for a while so that our mind can begin to be renewed to the truth of that thing. And Shane might share something like this, but as we hear that truth, then those words are going to frame up that thing in the Spirit for us so that we can come into it, okay? So as we listen to it, a more clear framework and picture of the truth of that is going to begin to take shape so that you can come into it and it can begin to open up for you. So here again, this is something that each one of us are going to have to listen to several times. And then as you kind of get used to the process of how this is working, then things will begin to accelerate for you in other things as you begin to understand, like when you can break off the condemnation that there's nothing wrong with you, that you didn't do anything wrong and there's nothing wrong with you. Jesus did everything he needed to do and it's done. Okay? And that all things have been given to you in Christ. And when you can accept that reality and know that you've been born of the Spirit, you can see in the Spirit, hear in the Spirit, that is not a gift or an anointing or nobody's more special than anybody else. You're a spirit and you can see. So when you begin to understand some little things like that, everything else will start accelerating for you. So in the meantime, you've just got to begin to let your mind begin to be renewed to some of these things. And then just let Holy Spirit meet you in the midst of this. And he'll begin to just lead you down the trail that he has prepared for you. And there's not a right or a wrong. It's just simply being led by the Spirit. That's it. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's not. So just be childlike. Become childlike more and more. And just let Father meet you in the midst of this stuff and Holy Spirit, and it's fun, it's good, because that's where this is going. So come on, Shane. So this is Shane, and the Lord's given him some really cool revelation about the time spiral, and he's going to share tonight. And I think is it going to be like two parts and then still a third kind of recap kind of deal? So he's just going to kind of lay a foundation tonight for the time spiral, and then next week he'll go into part two, and then the third week, it'll just be kind of like a recap, just so we can hear it again, because, you know, we'll need to hear it again. But we'll record each week, and then we will get it up on the website as well. So I'm going to pray. So, Father, I just thank you, Father, for Shane. Father, I just thank you, Father, for the revelation, Father, that you've released and revealed. And Father, just tonight, Father, that you would, that our hearts would be prepared, that our minds would be prepared, Father, to receive the seed of what you want to sow into our lives, Father. And so we just bless this time, Father, and I just thank you, Father, Lord, for what is opening up for us, Father, in the realm of the Spirit. And so we just give you praise and glory and honor for all that you're doing and just bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. And Father, I just thank you for tonight as well. And Father, I just pray right now for your grace to come into this room just to fill us, Father. I thank you for just opening our hearts and our spirit to receive a fresh revelation from you tonight. Father, I just pray against any mindsets, Father, that might try to come in and stop us from receiving what it is that you want to release. I just thank you for your grace just to cover that. And Father, even if our minds don't comprehend it, well, we know that our spirits do, Father, and that you just will unpack that for us in time. And we just thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, cool. You know, it's really awesome. I never get tired of when you're just open and you're free in the spirit of how Holy Spirit just perfectly orchestrates everything. And tonight was just a great example of that in worship. You couldn't have asked for a better platform in worship to house what's going to be released tonight. It flows right in there with it. All of creation is groaning, is longing for the manifest sons of God to be revealed. That's in Romans 8, and Virginia was singing that when she was up there. And I love that passage, and that fits perfectly into what the Father is wanting to release to us tonight here with the spiral of time and generations. Like Sean mentioned, we're going to originally, we've been sitting on this for about a month or so, maybe a little bit longer, just kind of waiting for the right time to release it. And originally I was going to release everything all in one night. And the Holy Spirit made it very clear that he doesn't want to do that. He wants to take our time and to really unpack this. We have to start with the foundation, and we have to build a framework to house revelation, to have it a place for it to sit and rest in us. If we don't, we won't be able to steward it. So I could sit up here and just blast you with it tonight. It go, you not receive it. It completely catches you out of left field, and then you don't have any grid to house it. So what he really wants to do and what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is tonight we're just really going to lay a foundation. I'm not going to hit you with anything really, some of it will be a little out there, but tonight's just more of just kind of laying that foundation to really build that framework so this thing can house. And then next week we're going to go a little bit deeper, and the week after that, it's kind of up in the air. We'll see what Holy Spirit wants to do with that. To start laying that framework, I want to look at a passage in John. I'm going to read it to you real quick. It says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber." How many of us know that Jesus is the only way to the Father? Everybody should have their hand up. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the door. Okay, he's the narrow way. No man comes to the Father but through him. Very important. I want us all to remember that as we start going into some of this stuff tonight. Okay? In this verse, the sheepfold here is referring to the realm of the Spirit. Okay? Anybody who accesses the realm of the Spirit, who accesses the kingdom without going through the door, which is Jesus, is a thief, and he's a robber, okay? Now, I want to point something out here, too. Do you notice that the word doesn't say that they didn't get into the realm of the Spirit, the sheepfold? It says they got in illegally, okay? That's a really important point when we start talking about this. Just to kind of give you an analogy, someone can break into your home without going through the front door, without your permission. That makes them a thief. Doesn't mean they can't get into your home. It just means they're breaking in illegally. All right, now let's assume that you have a golden candlestick that's in your possession. It's an heirloom. It's been passed down to you generation by generation to generation. It's solid gold. It's worth value. It's worth a lot of money. It's an heirloom. Okay? Someone breaks into your house and they steal it. They remove it from your house. They're possessing that thing illegally. It immediately devalues it. So you pull it out of your house. That robber cannot do anything with it. It still serves a function. A candlestick still gives off light. It's giving off light inside your house. He steals it. It still serves a function, but now it's devalued. You know, he can't do anything with it other than sell on the black market, you know, whatever a robber does with his possessions. Okay? Now, if you, as the rightful owner, you track it down, you repossess it, you take it back, it's back in your legal possession, it's back in its rightful place, all of a sudden now the value is completely restored back. Okay? That's exactly what happens in the realm of the spirit when you have the New Age movement, the occult, all of those types of things, who access the realm of the spirit without going through Jesus or accessing it illegally. Okay? And they're stealing the possessions that are rightfully the sons of God. Now, the church, throughout the centuries, unfortunately, has lost sight of that. So all of a sudden, you know, just like in the candlestick analogy, you know, did the candlestick do anything wrong? Of course not. You know, does that make the candlestick bad? No. It just was stolen, so it was devalued. But as soon as it's reclaimed and it's back in its rightful possession, it has its worth again, it has its value. And again, I think that throughout the centuries, the church has lost sight of that. Now, in this time, the Father is restoring all of that to the body, and he's raising up a body of believers who need to step into their rightful place. They need to step into being sons of God, go into the demonic, and reclaim what's rightfully ours, and bring it back into the church where it belongs. All right, that's part of what all this is about. And so I just wanted to throw that out there to start with tonight, because it, again, when we start talking about some of this new revelation stuff and we really start getting into it, the enemy is full of lies and he's going to come in and he's going to try to rob it and he's going to try to steal it. And he's going to say, I don't know about that. That sounds weird. That sounds all of this. But as long as we keep Jesus as our true north, we keep the Word of God as our plumb line, we don't need to be afraid of new, fresh revelation. We need to embrace it. We need to pray over it, and we need to steward it. Okay? So, again, everything is just in him and through him. So let's just, keep that in mind as we're going through this. All right, the spiral. So, a while back, I began to pray through my DNA and my chromosomes in my personal life. The Holy Spirit had kind of given me this revelation to start walking in, going through your DNA, praying through it, praying through my chromosomes. And there is a teaching on our website where I talk about that. Y'all can go in there. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but you can go in there and listen to it. So during this time, when he had me on this journey going through, he started talking to me about time and how time is a false construct of our true reality. You know, we as a spirit being exist outside of time. We exist outside of space. We're in the Father. Okay, the Father is omnipresent. He exists outside of time and space. However, Father created time in this reality, in this dimension. Okay, so when Adam was created, Adam walked in two realms simultaneously. He walked in the realm of the spirit, and he walked in this realm. They overlapped each other. That's how he could walk with God in the garden. Okay, after the fall, those things were separated, so he was stuck here in this reality. Because of the original sin and those kinds of things. So throughout, from that point on, we have this construct of time that as a human we have to live in, we have to steward. It's how we judge events, it's how we do all these things. But he started showing me that the way we view time is not right. It's a lie. And that was kind of the basis of that perceptual reality series that some of y'all see hanging out in the lobby. So, all right, we'll start unpacking this. So he started showing me the timeline, and he said, I want to show you a few things that's going to give you a better representation of what time is and actually how time looks and how we're supposed to be interacting with it today. So the top port here is the Greek mindset, okay, the linear time. Time is not linear. In the Western world, we think that way, but it's not. That's a Greek mindset. The Greeks think, you know, past, present, future, A plus B plus C equals D, okay? Hebrews, they think in circular time. Every end has a new beginning. That's this right here. So every end has a new beginning, okay? This is the way God thinks when he established the Hebrew culture. If you look in our, just look in nature, can everybody see that? All right. If you just look in nature, everything revolves around that. If you do a cross-section of a tree, how do you tell how old a tree is? You count the rings in a tree. You know, the seasons. We have summer, spring, winter, summer, fall, winter, spring. And it's just a repeated pattern. So he was talking to me about going into this circular motion of time. In the process of doing this, he reaches up and he grabs the middle of this point right here, and he just pulls it straight down. And that was the first time I'd ever seen the spiral. And when he pulled it down, it created the last image over here, which is the sun mindset. And he started telling me, he said, this is how a manifest sun needs to view time in this reality. Time is not linear. It's more than being circled. It's layered on top of each other, okay? And this is what we're going to get into tonight. It's layered on top of each other from the beginning to the current. And I started praying into just what the purpose of that is. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight and laying this foundation. There's a lot of different spirals and a lot of different aspects. On the third night we'll get into some of that stuff. Tonight, specifically, we're going to talk about just our personal spiral. Each and every one of us has a spiral that is unique to us, okay? It's the individual spiral. And what I'm going to do tonight is slowly walk through this so we can all understand it. I took the individual spiral, which, again, is unique to every single one of us. We all have one in our own life, and I broke it into two sections. The top portion is the lifespan spiral. Okay, that's what we currently operate in right now. Below that is the generational spiral. Okay, so those two halves make up an individual time spiral for each and every one of us. The lifespan spiral. Again, this is the section of your life that you're currently operating in right now. It's your age plus one, okay? So I'm 41 years old, so I have 42 layers in my lifespan spiral. The reason for that, and the most important part of your lifespan spiral, is this area at the base of your spiral right here, which is your conception to your birth. It's while you're in the womb. Okay, the Father started showing me that's the most important part of your lifespan spiral. While you're in the womb, from the moment of conception, your spirit enters your mother's womb. Okay, we're a spirit being first and foremost. Your spirit comes in. At that moment, your spirit is being wrapped in a human body. Okay, that's the moment that you're actually operating like Adam did originally after creation in two realms at the same time. You're operating in the realm of the spirit. You're a spirit being. You're becoming human or being wrapped in a human body as your human body grows. Okay, so it's actually, again, just part of this circular cycle of creation, the fall, original sin, spirit coming into your mother's womb, you're developing. When you're born into the original sin. You're born into the curse. So anyway, so you're operating in two dimensions at the same time during this place. This is the moment as well that you're getting the record DNA from your father and the record DNA from your mother, okay, which has corrupt coding in it, which we'll get into here in a minute. So this is probably the most critical point of when you start praying through and engaging this, which we're going to talk about tonight. This is the most critical point in your lifespan spiral, is to really engage in this, that layer zero, that womb time. In Genesis 1, God says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule." Okay. All right, I'm going to skip that for right now. We're going to go straight to the generational spiral here. All right, the generational spiral is the total encompassing of your individual spiral. It's from your current age down to the fall of man, down to the beginning of our bloodline, okay? The reason why it doesn't go all the way back to creation is because, like I was talking about earlier, from creation to the fall, man was made perfect, okay? We did not enter into generational bloodlines, genealogy, any of that stuff, until the fall. Okay, so when you're praying through this, you pray all the way up into the fall, and then we'll get into what happens before that here in just a minute. But again, man was made in their image. Okay. When the Father started taking me on this journey, praying through my DNA and my chromosomes, when he first showed me this, he was telling me, "And I want you to start praying through layer by layer." Okay, and so I started, and it just took a lot of practice and just letting Holy Spirit kind of guide me as I was going down through this. But basically, you start praying over your lifespan spiral where you are now. And I would just sit in my room or wherever it was I was praying, and I would close my eyes and just imagine this spiral in front of me. And I would just enter in by faith, just seeing this spiral. And I'd picture myself just beginning to walk down through the spiral layer by layer, just praying. Okay, kind of like that man walking down the spiral, just kind of walking down, praying over it. Father, just reveal to me what needs to be redeemed, what needs to be restored in my life. Okay, and I did this for a while, and I started seeing, which a couple of weeks ago, if anybody was here when I prayed a little bit over this corporately with everybody, you might remember this, but I started seeing these plugs that would be embedded into the walkway. And as I'm walking down through there, I would see black plugs and red plugs. And I didn't know what they were at first, but again, just engaging the Father and asking him, which is the most important thing here. When you're engaging in stuff like this and you're seeing something that you don't know what it is, or you have a question about it, ask. You know, the Father wants you to ask. He wants you to grow in this stuff. Okay? So I would ask him, what are these plugs? And he started showing me that the black plugs were the corrupt seed that was encoded in my DNA. Okay, we all have it. Go back and read Genesis 6. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but go back and read it. Genesis 6 is when the sons of God fell. They took human wives. They mated. Race of giants, Nephilim, all of those types of things. It's a corrupt, it's a mixture of seeds. Okay? Again, I'm not going to get into that tonight, but every one of us have it, and we have to get rid of it. We have to deal with it before we can mature and we can manifest as the Son of God. So that's what the black plugs were. So as I would see those walking down to this spiral just praying, every now and then I might see one, and either Holy Spirit would guide me to reach down and pull it up, and then he would cover it and heal it. You could see that scar, that wound that was in that layer just kind of shrink up. Sometimes Jesus would reach down and pull it up. Sometimes he'd send an angel to pull it up. It's just all a matter of how Holy Spirit wants to interact with you. And let me say that here as well. When you start praying through this stuff, don't get caught up in, well, that doesn't look at all like Shane was telling me, or that's not what Shane saw, so it must be wrong. Don't do that. It's not about exactly what you're seeing. He's going to show each and every one of us, we all have different personalities. He's going to show it a little bit different probably to each one of us. It's not about exactly what you're seeing. It's just about the concept, about what you're walking through, okay? A couple weeks ago, again, as I was praying through this, a couple of people saw the spiral, but it was the slide, and they were sliding down through it. You know, some other people saw some different things. So don't get caught up too much in what it looks like. The other plugs that he kept showing me were red, and the red plugs were our soul wounds. They were things in our soul that have not been dealt with or contended for. Okay, there's three things that can cause a red plug or can cause a soul wound. Original sin, first and foremost, the fall. Okay, we all have issues from original sin that we're born with. We're born under original sin. Until we get saved, we're born under the original sin. We have issues, abandonment. Connie can tell you the whole list of them. I'm not sure what all they are. Abandonment's a big one. But anyway, we all have original sin, okay? Generational sin and generational trafficking, illegal trading from our ancestors. That's the second one. Okay, anything in our ancestral bloodline that was sin that hasn't been dealt with, or again, illegal trading in the realm of the spirit, and it can be 15 generations back, 15 greats and the grandparent, can have illegal trafficking that's affecting us today. And then the third one that generates the soul wounds are just sin in our own life. You know, things in our lifespan portion of the spiral that have caused scarring and wounding in our soul. One of the cool things that he did with me as I was walking down through the spiral one day praying, and again, I'd already been engaging in removing these plugs, going down layer by layer, and the way I would do it is I would just start with my current layer. If Holy Spirit pointed out another specific one, I would start there, but just praying down, just saying, okay, Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus over layer 38. I just walk down to layer 37. I continue down to layer 36. And I would just walk down. Those are the years of my life and my lifespan spiral. Each layer is a year. Okay? And I would just be praying that until Holy Spirit would stop me. Sometimes he would, sometimes he wouldn't. You know, but again, I'm still engaging with it. I'm still interacting with it, whether he's bringing up something specific or not. And then once you get below your conception, going through their generations, each layer would be a generation, okay, as you start going down through that. So I was doing this one day, and all of a sudden in the spirit, I saw I had a bucket in one hand, and I had a mop in the other, and the bucket was full of blood. And I'd asked the Father, what is this? And he said, that's the blood of my son. That's the blood of the Lamb. He said, I want you to start mopping it over your layers. And it was just an amazing experience, because as I walked down through the layers, I just would dip that mop in the bucket and then just mop it as I prayed. And just by faith, again, just visualizing it, entering in by faith, just walking down those layers and just picture that, just you mopping the blood of Christ over your layers. An amazing, amazing sense of just freedom and healing and all those things that comes with that. So all of this was just part of that healing and that restoration of the soul. Okay, as you do this, all things have to be revealed in order for them to be restored. I'm going to put a big warning label right here before we go on any further. I'm going to say that again. All things have to be revealed for them to be restored. That can be a very painful process, okay? And since I'm the one releasing this to you tonight, I feel obligated to give you that warning. If you are not ready, don't engage it. Okay? You start engaging this stuff is real, and stuff is going to be manifest. Okay? Anything that's on your layers that's preventing you from moving on, that's preventing you from your true purpose, It's going to be manifested, it's going to be revealed, and you're going to have to make a choice of how to deal with it. You either have to face it and deal with it and move on, or you choose to bury it and not deal with it and get stuck in there. But once you make the conscious choice to start engaging this, you're going to be held accountable for it. So no matter how hard it gets, you have to, if you've made that choice to keep going, you have to keep going. Now, with that warning out there, I will say this. It's very well worth it. Okay? Maybe later I'll share some things with you in my own personal life, but you know, for tonight, I'll just tell you this. When I first started engaging this stuff, it felt like my whole life God had just put it in like a Yahtzee cup and had shook it up and then just dumped it out on a table. And everything was up for grabs. And again, it's a very stretching, very trying process. But what comes out of it, there's also been, as much of that stuff has been unsettling and unnerving and stuff that I've had to contend with, the flip side of it has been some amazing testimonies that have come out of it. And again, I think there's one on the website that I shared, and I think it's still up there. And y'all can go listen to that. But some amazing testimonies have come out of it as well. When I first started engaging some of this stuff, I kept asking myself, what's the point? What's the point when Father first showed me this time spiral and started having me walk through it and started praying through it, my first question was that, well, Father, what's the point? I mean, what's the point of walking through this? I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You know, what's the point of the soul healing and the soul restoration? And I've actually been asked that question a lot by others when we're starting to talk about this and things. So I think it's part of the foundational stuff. Holy Spirit was really guiding me just to deal with that. So I'm going to talk about this tonight. The redeeming and the restoration of the soul, at first, when I first saw this, I thought it was the purpose of it, because that's the way I was engaging with it, is this is all the spiral is good for. This is what the purpose of it is to restore the soul, to restore the bloodline, all of those things. The Father started showing me that that's a very important part of the process, but it's not the purpose. So when he was telling me that, I asked him two questions. I said, okay, well, what's the purpose of soul restoration, soul healing, healing the soul wounds, and how does that interact with the spiral? And so the first part of that, he answered first, and I'm going to go just quickly through this. This is not a teaching on the soul, but I just want to highlight it so there's no questions about this part. So what is the soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? That's what makes up your soul, is your mind, your will, and emotions. Colossians 1 says this. We're qualified to share in our inheritance, and we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So when we're saved, when we're born again, we ask Jesus to come in, okay? By faith, we believe in him. We're qualified to share in the inheritance that is restored back to us through Christ. Christ restored our inheritance that we lost through Adam, okay? We're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We're seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. That's Ephesians 2, also in Ephesians 1. Okay, again, when we're saved, that's what happens. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We were a sinner who was saved by grace. Now we're a saint. Okay, we're no longer a sinner saved by grace. We were a sinner. We were saved by grace. We're now a saint, and we're a saint who's learning to become a son. Okay? Very important. The church stops sometimes at, well, a lot of the church stops at just, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and they don't even move on to the saint part. But we went from being a pauper to a prince. Okay, we went from working out in the field as a pauper to we're a prince. We're in the castle. We're in the kingdom. Very important. So those are the things that happen when we get saved. Now, we still have to deal with the effects of sin. Okay? our spirit has made alive. Jesus paid that price on the cross. We're seated in heavenly places. We're transferred from darkness to light. All of those things happen to our spirit. Okay, our soul, still the effects of original sin, the three things I mentioned earlier, original sin, generational sin, the sin in your life, those wounds, those effects are still marked on your soul. Okay, that's the purpose of soul healing and soul restoration. Salvation through Christ restores back our inheritance as sons. Soul restoration allows us to realize it and then claim it. Okay, how many Christians do we know that get saved and they walk around and they battle depression and anxiety and anger and frustration and all of those other things? All of us do. Okay, all of us know Christians who walk around like that. Why is that? It's the soul wounds. You know, it doesn't make us any less saved. Doesn't mean that we can't interact with the King and we can't interact with the Spirit. The soul wounds stop us from realizing who we are. Okay, now, you know, with that said, God is omniscient. He can do whatever it is that He wants to do. Okay, we all know people, or if we don't know them personally, we've heard the stories of Johnny drug addict who walks into a church, gets radically saved that night, gets set free, gets delivered. He walks out the church doors preaching. The next week, he's in a full-blown, you know, leading a full-blown revival. You know, we've all heard those stories or know people personally that's happened to. That's awesome. God can do whatever He wants to do. I guarantee you, though, even when in that case, Johnny still has some soul stuff that he's going to have to work through eventually. But for the large majority of us, it's a process. We have to work out our salvation, the Bible says. This soul restoration is a process of going through it. We have to engage. I might get in trouble by saying this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think a lot of the church has just been taught by these religious spirits that just have that defeated mentality of, I'm gonna get saved and I'm just gonna hang on till the end and I'm gonna witness the best I can and just, you know, hope that I just get raptured up out of here one day and the world's gonna go to hell. You know, that's just flat wrong. It's just flat wrong. So I'm not gonna get on that soapbox tonight, but that's not who we are. Okay, the Bible says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Now, who's going to do that? You know, if the Christians sit around in our poor selves and just say, I'm just going to hang on until Jesus comes back, who's going to fulfill that prophecy? Exactly right. No one. Okay? We are supposed to be engaging in this stuff, reclaiming what's been stolen from us, and we're supposed to be walking in a manifest sons of God on this earth to usher in the glory of God so that Jesus can one day come back from the millennial reign. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not waiting to hit the escape hatch and get out of here. So I'll let Sean talk about that later. So guess what stops us from doing all that? Guess what stops us from releasing that glory, from walking as a manifest son? Again, it's the soul. It's the soul wounds. It stops us from realizing who we are. Luke 1 says this, our soul should magnify the Lord and our spirit exalt the Father. That means our spirit's in elation. It's in jubilation, being raptured into ecstasy of God, and our soul is supposed to express that. Our soul can't express what our spirit is experiencing until our soul is free, until our soul is healed. So that's the whole, when he was answering my question about what's the purpose of soul restoration and soul healing, that's what he was showing to me. So the second part of that was, how does that relate to the time spiral? And again, each layer, what I was talking about earlier, each layer representing either a year of our life in the lifespan portion or one generation in the generation portion, praying through that, praying through the soul wounds, pleading the blood of Jesus, letting Holy Spirit be your guide as you start engaging and walking down through this. This is an accelerated map to soul healing. Okay? I'm sure a lot of people in this room have been involved in one form or another in soul healing and prayer and things like this, this is an accelerated process to that. That's why he's revealing it. He's revealing it saying, look, guys, you need to get on board. I need my sons to be manifested. Okay? So that's what this is. Through the original sin, and again, this relates back to time spiral. Through original sin, we're all born under a false identity. Okay? Not only we're born with it in our lifespan spiral, but it also goes all the way back to that corrupt DNA coding I was talking about earlier. Through that, through original sin, through our sin, we're born underneath a false identity. Through the environment, our parents, our extended family, our bloodlines, through society, the media, school, church, music, pop culture, all the things in our society, they lend themselves and continue to bolster that false identity as we grow through our spiral. It just continues to be wrapped around us. Okay? So we have to break free of that. A lot of churches, you know, they might pray over a couple of generational curses, or, you know, how many of y'all have ever seen the generational bloodline ring that you draw around yourselves? I've done that myself. Well, that there's good intentions there, but how that stuff, you start engaging in that and then you stop, and then a week later you go back and you're still battling the same stuff that you battled before you drew this generational ring around you. Okay? The Father is saying, we need to go deeper. We need to go deeper into your bloodline, deeper into restoration and healing. That's where the spiral comes in, going down deeper and deeper into the layers. We have to deal with a false identity as we go down through this in order to come in to maturity, in order to come into being a manifest son. That DNA encoding, that false identity is going to be there in each and every one of us until we deal with it. That's the largest purpose of this spiral, is dealing with and understanding our identity. And that was the answer to the last part of that question, was what's the overall purpose of this? It's dealing with and understanding our identity. A friend of mine one day, I'd been dealing and engaging in this spiral for a while, for a year, year and a half, somewhere around there. Just in the last couple of months is when it really started, the Father started really unpacking it. And that transition point was a friend of mine was at my house, and we were talking about the spiral, and I was explaining some things to him that I had been seeing. And he asked me, he said, have you seen the foundation yet? And the question kind of caught me off guard, because I hadn't even thought about a foundation, you know, much less seen it at that point. And I had just saw this spiral kind of floating in space and had been interacting with it from a soul standpoint. And so that question got me thinking, and I started asking the Father, all right, Father, well, is there a foundation to this? And if there is, let me see it. What is it? So the Father started revealing the foundation to me. And the first time I saw it, it just blew me out of the water. It was amazing. And I don't even really have the words to quite describe it, so I'm just going to try to do the best I can. But he took me down to the foundation. At the bottom of the foundation, I saw this being of just pure light, and it was sitting on this foundation. And so I'd asked the Father, who is that, or what is that being? And he said, that's you. And I said, it's me. And he said, yes. He goes, that's you, who you were before the foundation of the world, who I created you to be before the foundation of the world. At the base of every one of our time spirals, our individual time spiral, is us, is our true identity. It's our true awareness. It's our true self-conscious. Okay? It's who we were before the foundation of the world, who we were before original sin. That's what God wants us to get to. That's the whole purpose of all of this. The soul restoration, the praying through your layers, all of that's part of the process. It's all part of the process for one goal. And that one goal is to come into the conscious of who you are, of who he created you to be, of who he created you to be before the foundation of the world. Once we capture and engage our true self-identity, we can then become who we can become fully aware of who we are in him and who he is in us. And that's just, again, when I first saw that, the reason why I'm kind of stopping is I'm trying to think of some words to describe it, and I can't. Just, I really encourage all of y'all to engage it and just to come into that. He wants us to become fully aware, self-aware, so we can delight in the fullness of his creation, the fullness of who he created us to be. The Father yearns for that. He yearns for us to delight in ourselves the way he delights in us. And the soul and all of the other stuff that we're talking about tonight is what prevents us from doing that. And that's what his heart is. That's what he wants. He wants his sons to know who they are. You know, never before has he created a being like us, and he wants us to delight in his creation. You know, we're unique. You know, he's never created anything like us before, and he wants us to understand that, and he wants us to know. He wants us to come into a true self-awareness. At that moment, when we come into that true self-awareness, we can truly love and experience love and peace and fullness as a creative son of the Most High. That's what's waiting for us at the end of the spiral, okay? I want y'all to listen to this quote by Julian of Norwich. She was an English anchorist. An anchorist is someone who sets themselves apart. That's like they set themselves apart just to be with God, kind of like a nun. But they set themselves apart, and she lived around 1342 to the early 1400s. And she was regarded as one of the most important early Christian mystics. She kept getting these raptures into heaven and having these amazing experiences in heaven and with the Father. You know, this is in the late Middle Ages, okay? Pretty controversial for a time, I think. So she wrote a book in the late 1300s called Revelations of Divine Love, and it's all about her experiences of going into heaven and to interacting with the Father. And I came across this quote, and this quote is so amazing to what we're talking about. It was unbelievable. So this is what she says in her book. And so the Blessed Trinity endlessly rejoices in the making of the human being, for he saw without beginning what would delight him without end. How amazing is that? You know, she was seeing this back then of what our true identity is, how God really feels about us. I'm going to read that again just to let it sink in. And so the Blessed Trinity endlessly rejoices in the making of the human being, for he saw without beginning what would delight him without end. Now, I'm going to kind of bring this in and land it for tonight. This is going to be some of the foundation stuff that we're going to go into for next week. Next week, if tonight you had like a normal seatbelt on, next week you need to bring your 5-point harness, because we're going to go in a lot deeper next week about our true identity, who we are, what is waiting for us at the foundation of the spiral, what happens when the foundation opens up. So it's going to be some pretty interesting things, but I'm going to leave you with this. And then I'm just going to do some quick kind of practical engaging with you guys on the spiral. So let me read these two verses to you. Jesus entered beyond the veil, is what they're talking about here. Jesus entered beyond the veil as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That's in Hebrews 6. A few verses later, it says this: without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. That's a few verses later. We're going to begin to unpack those things in part two of this teaching of our true identity without mother, without father, without genealogy, who we were before the foundation of the world. Okay? Right there in Hebrews it says Jesus was a forerunner. We're all disciples of Jesus in here. We're all supposed to be mentored, pattern our life after Jesus. Not only these things you will do, but greater. Okay? The Bible calls Jesus a forerunner. So what are we supposed to be? Forerunners. Okay? Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek, without mother, without father, without genealogy. Who are we supposed to be? Without mother, without father, without genealogy. So anyway, we're going to unpack that next week. This is a preview of what we're going to start getting into. Okay? So come ready. All right. I want everybody to stand up. And I'm just going to pray through this real quick, and then we're going to end it. Again, if you don't feel comfortable engaging with this, that's fine. Just think about your to-do list that you have to do tomorrow. But I promise you, if you are willing to engage with your individual spiral and just start interacting with it, start praying through it, the stuff that the Father's going to start unpacking is going to be just amazing. Okay? So everybody just close your eyes and just envision that spiral in front of you, however Holy Spirit's revealing it to you. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you for the new revelation that you're giving to us, Father. I thank you that you're just beginning to unpack it in each and every one of our lives. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for our individual time spiral, for revealing it to us, for giving us the grace to engage it. So, Father, right now, we just begin to walk down our time spiral. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to reveal to all of us in this room things that need to be redeemed, things that need to be restored. Thank you, Father. Just picture yourself just walking down it. Just let Holy Spirit guide you through it, however he wants to. Father, I thank you for the soul wounds in our life that you're healing. I thank you for your blood, Jesus, that gives us that redemptive power for all things to be restored, for us to come back into our full inheritance, for us to reclaim what's been stolen. Father, I thank you for healing of the corrupt seed that was never intended to be there, Father. I thank you for a restoration of our identity back to the beginning, before creation, before the foundation of the world. Father, we just engage the spiral for that common purpose, to come into the fullness of who you created us to be, into the fullness of who we are in you and through you, and who you are in us and through us. Father, I thank you for unpacking that, just opening it up for each and every one of us in this room, for allowing us to engage with you, to co-labor with you in the process, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we just bless you. Father, we thank you for new revelation to be poured out. Father, we thank you for the grace to be able to steward it, to carry the responsibility of stewarding it. Father, we thank you for tonight, for laying the foundation, building the framework to allow this to rest in. And I just bless each and every person in this room and their spirit, Father, to receive it, to receive this word from you, and to reveal it to all of us as you see fit, Father. Father, right now, I pray over that seed. I just pray for the living water to rush over that seed, to nurture it, to grow it, to allow it to flourish. And Father, I just pray a hedge of protection right now over this revelation and over this seed, that it will not be stolen from the enemy. That the fullness of what you want for this be made manifest in our lives, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen.